All right, turning back to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. This particular chapter has been one, as I said before, that has been, according to the good pleasure of the Spirit of God, one that has been given, or we have been given, let me say it like that, much detail in this particular chapter. And therefore, we want to prayerfully and reverently consider very much these verses. The bride for Isaac has been found. And she heard the report of the servant of Abraham, and Rebekah has declared her readiness and her willingness to leave her home for him. And the scripture says in verse 61, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now she was like the prodigal that was spoken of in the New Testament, that had come to himself, and he said, I will arise and go to my father. And like the prodigal, Rebekah, when she was of a determined mind to go to Isaac, she didn't confer with flesh and blood. She didn't listen to the desires of her family. Remember, her family wanted her to stay 10 months or a year and before she went. But she was led providentially by the Holy Spirit to go to Isaac. She was willing. She was ready. She was ready to go. There was going to be a crossing of the bride with the bridegroom, and it was going to be at an appointed time, and this was the time. And she was going to be going to meet a man for the first time. She'd heard about him, convinced in her heart of him, and she's led by God's Spirit, just as God's people are being led by the Spirit of God. We've never seen him. We've never seen him with these corporal eyes. We know him. We know him. Paul the Apostle said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed against that day. So she's ready to go. Now the journey is surely going to be tiresome, just as our journey in this world. This world is not our home, but as we consider, as she did, the husband at the end of the journey, one provided by the Lord, she leaves. She's ready. Abraham's servant had faithfully set forth the promise unto Rebekah of a loving and devoted and able husband, a promise that she heard and in her heart believed, and this is the way we are. We know he's the great shepherd. He knows that we know that he's leading us and guiding us. And she went like we went, like we're going, walking by faith and not by sight. This is the way we're going. Coming to him, that's where we're walking. So she followed the servant of Abraham with the assurance that she would find acceptance. She would find favor in Isaac's eyes. No record that she doubted. No record that she said, well, I wonder if he'll see me and want me for a bride. I wondered. She had the assurance Isaac would accept her. She would love him. Now, don't we have the assurance? We're accepted in the Beloved. We have by faith. We believe according to the revelation of God's Word. We believe our sin is pardoned. We're robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are assured that we are joint heirs with Christ. We hear those words, we hear those scriptures, and we believe it. We believe it. The Lord's given us a heart. She believed. She would see Isaac, and he would love her, and she would love him, and she's going. And we're convinced, we're washed from the guilt of our sins through the merit of the shed blood of our precious Savior. We believe that in him there's no spot, there's no blemish. Oh, we see in our flesh, we know in our flesh that there dwells no good thing, but we believe God. We believe that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk by faith and not by sight. Why do we have this hope? Because we believe God. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now that's what we got. That's what we got. We got God's word. That's all we got. He that believeth, he that trusteth, he that cast himself upon the mercy of Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not looking to himself for anything. Rebecca wasn't looking to herself for anything. She didn't have anything to bring to the table. Nothing. Everything that she had was given to her by the servant of Abraham. So she obediently arose and obeyed the instruction of Abraham's steward. And God's people do the same thing. They know that the Lord has sent preachers. I will give you pastors after my heart. The Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to say, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. The sheep of God obey God's preachers when the sheep hear the word that's being faithfully preached by God's preacher. When it says, obey them that have the rule over you, hear the word is what it's talking about. The only thing that a faithful pastor has to say is what saith the Lord. So whenever they preach the gospel of God's free grace, obey them that are speaking God's word. Those called of God, they're not to be concerned about their own opinion, their own fame, but rather they're governed and directed by the Spirit of God for the glory of God and the spiritual welfare of God's people, the hearers. They give account. Here, obey them to have the rule over you. They must give account. We give account, first of all, unto the Lord for what's preached. We give an account to those that hear the message. You hear it, and you're looking. That's what I always say. Listen to what I'm preaching and look at it. Look at it in the book and find out, is this what the book is saying? Is this what the scriptures are saying? And if it's not what the scriptures are being said, then I have no business standing here. But they give account unto the Lord. They give account to those that hear, and they give account to their own conscience. If the message is faithfully preached and received, the scripture says they give account that they may do it with joy. If the Lord is pleased to bless the message, and God calls out one of his own, or they're encouraged, and they find comfort. Paul said concerning those that heard him, he said, Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Your faith if the message is refused. Obey them that have the rule over you, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And, you know, if the message is refused. And we all have, we have those that we love and want them to hear. We want them to, we want the Lord to save them. We want the Lord to do something for them. And we pray and we ask the Lord to bless the word, bless the message. Bless it as it goes forth. Make it go forth in power. Lord, would you bless it? And those that refuse to hear, we're grieved because we know the end of those that refuse. We know the end. We know that there's coming a day when they'll stand before God. So the messenger of Abraham bore within his heart the responsibility, the desire of faithfulness to his master, to Abraham. He wanted to be truthful. And God's people, they want to hear the gospel, and God's preachers want to preach faithfully. So there's the end. She had heard all, and she arose and her damsels and rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And then verse 62 said, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Now, as Rebekah was coming to Isaac, being led by the servant of Abraham, Isaac was also coming. He was coming. He was led the same way, led by the Spirit of God. But the scripture says he was coming from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Now, that place, Lahairoi, that's the same place that's referred to when the Lord met Hagar in Beer Lahairoi, the well of him that liveth and seeth. And I looked, and every reference that I could find gave the same, it said it's the same place. It's the same place. That was that well was where the Lord, when Hagar was cast out, whenever, you know, Sarah told Abraham, cast the bondwoman out and her son. He's not gonna share in the inheritance of my son. And the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, Do it. That's what you do. I want you to do that. And so there was Hagar out and Ishmael, and the Lord met her there. Met Hagar there. She was going to go off and just get off in a place somewhere where she wouldn't see her son die. That's what she was going to do. And the Lord came, and in overruling providence, he delivered her and Hagar. I mean, in Ishmael. And this is the place where Isaac was. He was coming from this place, a place that may have been the place where he went to seek the Lord's direction, a place where the blessing of God had been seen prior, and surely a place where the person and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ was set forth, that is, picturing him who is the well. It was a well there. That's what it was. It was a well. And here is a picture of him from whom flows the rivers of living water, speaking of the Spirit of God. So both Rebekah and Isaac were providentially being directed toward each other. You know, the scripture sets forth the steps of a good man, one made so by the blood of Christ, being washed in the blood. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But think again, here again, let's look past history. This is history. This is history. No doubt about that. That's true. This really happened. But look how we behold the bride of Christ being providentially brought unto the Lord Jesus Christ, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So just as Rebekah and Isaac will surely meet, the Lord is ordering and working all things after the counsel of his own will to bring his bride unto himself. Job said, in my flesh, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see him. I'll see him. And verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. Isaac's heart was surely prepared, made sensitive, to seek the Lord, to meditate upon the Lord's will. That particular word, meditate, there's different words, meditate, in the Scriptures. That word, meditate, is used one time, right there. And I looked it up, and it means, this is the meaning, to muse pensively. Well, I had to go and look the word pensively up to find out what that means. It means one that is thinking, but weighing and pondering, considering in an absorbed and sober thoughtfulness. Weighing. He wasn't just out daydreaming. He was weighing heavily upon what was going on. The scripture sets forth that he had gone out. He went out in the field. He got alone. He got alone. He was this was a closet to him. You pray, go to your closet, get somewhere by yourself. And if the Lord doesn't give a man, a woman, a heart to do that, they won't do it. And I think about what a blessing it is to meditate upon the things of God, to meditate on that, to think about that. How many times did before we ever knew him, did we go day after day, day and night, day after day after day after day, years, never thinking about the goodness of God that gave us life, the mercy, the kindness of God, to thank the Lord for life. You know, there's a sense it is, it's the truth. All people benefit from the goodness of God. All men do. The scripture says the sun rises on the good and the evil. It rains. You got people out here, big farms and stuff raising, and they don't know God. And the Lord's providing. It's all for his people. But there's the blessing, and they're ignorant. Never thinking that they're one heartbeat away from entering eternity and without Christ. Never considering that. But there's a time when the Lord moves upon a vessel of his mercy and gives them a heart to contemplate and to meditate upon his goodness. And here's Isaac meditating. That's what he did. He went out to meditate in the field at the eventime. It was the end of the day. We're not told the extent of his thoughts, but you think about this. Here we are. It's the end of the day. We're coming to the end of the day. It's sun has gone down, and we've been blessed with another day. We've had a day. God's given us 24 more hours, and here's Isaac meditating, what, concerning the mercy and the grace that God had shown him. I wonder how many times he thought upon laying down on that altar up on top of that mountain in Moriah, looking up at his dad with that knife in his hand. And then beholding a ram caught in the thicket with horns tangled up. And his daddy taking that ram and loosing him and putting that ram on top of that altar and offering that ram in his stead. I wonder how many times he thought about that. How many times would you think of it? If that had been you, it really happened. Musing. And what a blessing to muse upon that blessed picture of that ram taking his place and how the Lord being a substitute for his people made what we are. Is that not the meditation of the believer's heart? And I realize how many times we think these things, and for me, I'll just speak for me, they're so fleeting. It's like for a fleeting moment, I think, I almost thought about it maybe, about the goodness of God. And then I'm so distracted and I'm just, it's like I lose it. And I think, am I thankful at all? Do I have any heart to meditate upon these precious things, how God allowed me, blessed me to live until I heard the gospel? I went to school. There's a lot of y'all did. How many people in your high school class have already passed? And you're still here. How many of them left this world without knowing God? And here we are with a desire to come and hear basically the same thing. Let's use a different passage. Still got one message. I'm going to tell you about him. Tell you about his glory, his mercy. Whenever the Lord himself, turn with me to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, when the Lord was born of Mary, his mother, earthly mother. Scripture declares, Luke 2, listen to this. Luke 2, 7. He brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the promised Messiah. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Those clothes, those swaddling clothes that the priests would wrap little lambs in, pure lambs. They'd examine these lambs and wrap them in swaddling clothes to keep them from being harmed, blemished. Swaddling clothes. He'd wrap a lamb up, a sacrificial lamb. You're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and say, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They started telling people what the angels told them. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What she was pondering about, I tell you. Turn back to chapter 1 of Luke. Look at Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." And when Mary, and then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And she came and she heard what those shepherds said that these angels had told her. They came and they said, "This unto you a Savior. It's Christ the Lord. And you're going to find him in a manger, Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes." And there's the child wrapped in swaddling clothes. And these angels, I mean, these shepherds come in and say, "Angels told us this tonight." And she looks at that child and pondered all these things in her heart. This is God made flesh. She pondered those things, meditated upon this thing. What a thing to ponder. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in me, the hope of glory. Yeah. That which is born of God, that doesn't sin. There's a new man in me that doesn't sin. Ponder that. Meditate upon that. Here was Isaac. He went out to meditate in the field at eventide to reflect upon the mercies of that day and seeking solitude with the Lord, his presence, desiring to hold communion with him. Surely asking for direction not only for himself, but also for the bride that would be brought to him, and praying for her deliverance. Turn to John 17. Wasn't that the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for the bride that was being delivered? Coming, it's coming unto him. Look at John 17. Look at verse 6. "I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. For all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now therefore I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Don't you know that he was thinking on the bride? He knew the servant was gone. He knew that the servant, he knew what his daddy said. His daddy told the servant, "The angel of the Lord shall go before you and prosper your way." He knew. Well, the scripture says that while he was meditating, back in Genesis 24, he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now, we know that no scripture is given without divine inspiration, importance. We know that, as our Lord said, how many times have we considered this? Beginning with Moses. This is Moses right here. This is Moses writing. Beginning with Moses, all the scriptures expounded unto them those things concerning himself. Now, Isaac seeing these camels, there's no exception. I mean, there's no exception of that not having spiritual meaning, divine meaning. A little quick confession to you right here. I was reading this yesterday, going over my notes, and I read that portion of scripture, and behold, the camels were coming. And I'm just going to express my ignorance. I read that and I thought, okay. But this morning I arose, I was reading that again, and it, by the grace of God, had a much greater meaning. Much greater in the sense that I went back and rewrote all my notes. The camels, behold, behold. It reminds me when John the Baptist says, behold, you gaze upon, you look upon this. You gaze at the camels were coming. You know, throughout this chapter, we've been made to consider these camels. And we beheld them, first of all, in verse 10. And I'm closing with this. Verse 10 of chapter 24, we behold these camels as the property and the provision of Abraham and by Abraham. Look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. So we see where these camels were provided by. They were the property of Abraham. And the care of these camels was especially important, to the servant as he sought the Lord's direction for the bride. Look at verse 14, Genesis 24, 14. Let it come to pass, he's praying, that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac, and therefore shall I know that thou hast shown kindness of me. The Lord moved upon that servant to think upon those camels as being worthy of notice, worthy of being cared for, worthy of being attended to. So here they're coming. They're provided by Abraham. They're carefully watched over by the servant of Abraham, and they were closely attended to by Abraham's servant. Genesis 24. Look at verse 29 and 30. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. Don't you think that's kind of an unusual thing? This is what he said to me. This is what he said to me, and he stood by the camels at the well. He was closely attendant. He was closely attending to the camels. But most significantly, and remember, all Scripture speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the point I came to by the grace of God. I don't have the sense to come to this. The Lord has to teach a man anything, but it's those camels were the means of bringing the bride to Isaac. Those camels. That was the mean. Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. When Isaac lifted up his eyes, behold, what did he see first? He saw the camels. He saw those camels coming. She was coming, not by her own provision. I don't doubt that maybe her family had some mode of transportation. Maybe they had a nice little buggy of some kind. Maybe she, you know, was very fond of her means of transportation. But the issue was she was coming by way of Abraham's provision. And those camels were a beautiful type and picture because of the significance that was made by the Spirit of God concerning God's means of getting her where she was going. They were coming by means of the camels, Abraham's choosing. They were a blessed type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of our Lord, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These camels bore the journey. They bore the heartache. They were riding on the camels, but the camels carried them. Reminded me when the Lord said he had lost a sheep, had left the 99. What did he do? Put it on him. And he bore the camel. He bore the little lamb. These camels bore all the provisions that were needed for the journey, and finally and safely delivered the bride to the son. The Apostle Paul was moved to say, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12, and I'll stop. Hebrews 12, verse 10. Hebrews 12, 10. I'm sorry, 2:10. I said 12, I meant 2. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He went out, he was meditating, and he lifted his eyes, and behold, those are the camels of my dad's provision. Behold, he saw the camels coming and knew the bride will be with them. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake.